Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So we were talking about the, and we have been over the last while, about this whole WhatsApp story and the introduction of the new act from the 1st of December. President Cyril Ramaphosa has signed the Cyber Crimes Bill into law, with part of the bill now set to take effect from yesterday, the 1st of December. We need to understand a little bit more about this and what this can mean to us in terms of messages that we send. Achmo Burgersmith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm well, and you?
I am well, thank you, on this very, very stormy Thursday morning in Johannesburg. So what does this actually mean? How does this impact on our lives?
Well, I think just from a social media usage perspective, it's got a significant impact on our lives in that we often see, very mean, abusive messages being shared on social media. And this is a specific section of the Act that we're now referring to. So, you know, in the first instance, the legislation deals with issues like, you know, cyber fraud or the misuse of cyberspace to engage in criminal acts and ransomware and all the rest. But then, you know, there's this one section of the legislation that deals with issues around people using the social media network to send messages to incite violence or incite damage to property, or if you threaten someone with violence. And then this whole issue around, you know, sending malicious messages and intimate messages. And if we talk about that, we're actually referring to aspects such as revenge porn. So using your social media network to actually bully people, threaten people, and in a very negative way, hide behind this unseen network to get all the bad out of you and into the social media space towards another individual.
How overt does it have to be? You know, when I often report people on Twitter and they ask you these questions, is it offensive to you? Does it encourage violence? What is the test for these types of WhatsApp messages that could land a person in trouble?
Well, I think you highlight a very important aspect, Howard, that, you know, there are different levels of sensitivity amongst individuals. You know, the fact that I don't like the color, I don't know, green, doesn't mean it's offensive if someone says something about that.
Mm.
But what we're talking about here and how we will test it would be based on what we've learned over many years in terms of how our courts have applied these aspects, and that would what would be reasonable. What would a reasonable man deem to be offensive? So it's not measured on individual sensitivity, but from a society perspective, what would be deemed immoral? Can I just say this? If we look at something like sending out explicit images of someone, it's very clear what that constitutes. We all know exactly what that constitutes. And if we send out messages then compared that to inciting violence, and we've seen that discussed so many times where people would say, but, you know, it's freedom of speech and it's not racism, or, you know, then we will have to rely on our courts, and I think I wrote that yesterday in a piece as well, because we will have to see how our courts will actually apply this legislation. If there's not a clear tick box to say to us, you know, so many letters or the specific words will contravene the legislation. But I would suggest morally, we actually do know as a society what messages would be those that would fall foul and could be deemed as malicious messages. You know, if we think about something that incites violence or threatens violence, it's very clear when you threaten violence or when you threaten or incite violence or damage to property. And we can reflect back to the July period, June, July period that we went through. And at that stage, Workman also published an article, and in fact, I think that was called Mr. President, Please Find Your Pen. Because this piece of legislation is so important also to regulate our society. You know, in today's world, it's so easy to communicate. We can just think about our children at school and the spread of social media messages and the damage that's been caused in instances where children are being bullied, for instance. But the same all over the world, that, you know, reflecting on the Arab Spring, social media networks allow for communication to take place within milliseconds. And therein lies the need from a cyberspace to regulate the environment.
Is there a simple way to report it? Again, going back to Twitter, it's easy because you go, well, it might not be easy because you don't you're not involved in the process, but you go, you click a few things and off you go. A WhatsApp message, what does one have to do? You receive a message that is abusive or follows one of these revenge porn or something terrible. What are you meant to do about this?
Well, the legislation clearly provides for a process to report this to the cybercrime unit at the South African police. Now, can I just say this? You know, we often criticize the SAPS for shortcomings in various areas. But if we look at the cybercrime unit, they are headed by an exceptionally competent individual. So we know there are skills available to deal with these aspects. But yeah, practically, let's be practical about what this would entail. You need to have a screenshot of that message or the offensive message that you see, because that becomes your proof of what happened. And that's a very practical aspect. You know, nowadays, people can go back and delete messages and remove messages from sites, but it's already straight. So the fact that they went back and deleted their message does not mean it's not within the cyber community and out there. Therefore, the first point of call would be to have a screenshot of that message, to have your proof that it's actually taken place.
Right. And I think that is important, to not assume that, oh, just because I've got to go to the police to be able to do this, that it's all going to be for naught. This is something that we need to do and will be hopefully competently handled.
Indeed. And I think, you know, it's not always easy to find or to deal with these issues. I think if we look back at, you know, tracing messages and dealing with, from a technological perspective, cybercrime, it can be a very complicated, or not can be, it is a very complicated environment. Let there be no doubt. I think what we can celebrate in South Africa is that we have now joined the big boy table with other countries where we've got robust cybercrime legislation in place. And that is very valuable. As a country, we're very good at producing and writing excellent pieces of legislation. And again, this piece of legislation is robust, and it brings
from a cyber... I'm going to interrupt you because I want you to just get to this quick question quickly before the 7 o'clock news. What about anti-vaccines posts that are lies? That's from William. William asking about what happens if somebody, something like that, does that fall into this category? Misinformation?
That is a very difficult question early in the morning. That's such an important question.
And it is. That's why I wanted to interrupt you to tell you, ask you.
But if we look at, you know, anti-vaxxers and spreading messages, the question, the test would be whether those are malicious. A normal, in inverted commas, normal message to say, but, you know, people are not supporting vaccines, that's clearly falls under the category of freedom of speech that is protected by our legislation. And it would be, The test would lie within the context and the content of that message.
Okay, so you can't look at it just in of itself. It is 7 o'clock, and unfortunately, we do need to end the interview there. Achmor Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys, chatting to us this morning about the new law that has come into play from the 1st of December.